This is the DRF Players Podcast.
What's going on? It's the Wednesday, November 26th edition of the DRF Players Podcast. Alongside Peter Thomas Fornital, Mike Hogan, and producer Andrew, I am Matt Bernier. We are only doing one show this week just because we are up against it. We have the holiday tomorrow. Happy holidays for everyone. It's the beginning of it. Real quick, Twitter handles, Pete.
At Looms Boldly.
Mike.
At DRF Formulator.
I am at Bernier underscore Matt. We're going to keep this thing lean, mean, nitty gritty down about, try to keep it to 30 minutes, right?
Got to keep it to 30 minutes or my wife might kill me.
Fair enough. And we got some pretty crummy weather going on outside.
It feels like the end of turf season in New York. Let's put it that way.
It's starting to feel a lot like Christmas. See what I did there? See what I did there? We're going to get some snow. It's cold. All right.
That's the non-degenerate version. Degenerates measure this stuff by. Oh, no, here comes the inner.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're done with the main track after this Saturday. Well, not technically, but you know what I mean. All right, let's kick it off. We're going to go back real quick, look at some of the races from this past Saturday. Starting with the Delta Jackpot, and Ocho gets the victory, remains undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, this was like on Twitter, I looked at two horses, and this was one. I was a little more interested at the morning line. Bet down at 5-2. I mean, I will admit I made about a dollar and a half on the race, but not the pick I'm proud of.
Better than losing.
Yeah, but as I always say, better a short price than a long face. But, you know, it was an impressive effort, but I think there's a more interesting horse to take out of the race. And from having seen your Race of the Day video last week, and folks should always be watching the great work that Dan Illman and Matt do on those Race of the Day videos, I have a feeling you're going to talk about a different horse.
I was very frustrated, very frustrated. Dan Illman and I were watching the race. We're here in the studio, in the office on Saturday afternoon because the weather was a little bit iffy and we had all sorts of different things going on DRF Live. And, you know, we're watching the race, and he had his pick four was alive to far right. I had picked far right on top, and I was shocked that he was so far back going into the first turn down the backside. And then when he started making that big move down the backside on the rail, you know, I said, he's moving.
Loaded.
He's moving like a tremendous machine.
wow.
I don't know about that.
The blasphemy.
Yeah, right, exactly. little tongue-in-cheek there. So he's going along, and then we both got a little bit tensed up going into the far turn when we saw how things were shaking down. Yeah.
A little jammy in there.
A little tight, and obviously Corey Lannery had to steady pretty hard. And the fact the horse ran on the way that he did, I thought was encouraging. But then again, I can't help but think that. And look, you want to call it sour grapes, whatever. Yeah, you're right. I'm a little bit peeved about how that whole thing shook down because he was 25-1. And I know there were some people that on Twitter came to me. I was not a good guy on Twitter this weekend. I had some people coming to me saying, you know, oh, it's very, very easy for you to, sounds like sour grapes. Sounds like you're just making excuses that you didn't win and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, you can say all you want. You can't convince me that if he didn't have a clean trip or angle to the outside and carried on with his run, that he wouldn't have won by about five. Because I don't think Mr. Z or Ocho finished very well at all.
Yeah, I don't know about five, but I mean, I think he's the winner with a clear run for sure. And it wouldn't have benefited me a penny. I mean, the horse was stopped and then did the cruising stopped and then re-rallied anyway. Right, and neither horse finished, neither of those two speeds finished very well. I mean, just to play devil's advocate for half a second, I do think, in truth, being as far back as you were questioning during the running of the race, when you go back and look at those splits and the way those leaders were finishing, maybe that was also where you exactly wanted to be. So, I mean, kind of what you might be saying is if he got a perfect trip, he wins, which you can say about a wide variety of horses and a wide variety of races. But in this one, I definitely happen to agree with you.
That's a good point, though. Like you say, when I was watching it, I wanted him to be within probably four or five lengths. I didn't want him to be so far back as he had been in the past. And the fact that he was that far back going in, I know that I want to say the opening quarter was 22-1.
Yeah, you couldn't have predicted the runaway that was happening there.
Yeah, things got very hot early on. And as you touched on, maybe that was, you know, it's easy for me to say with a clean trip he wins. But then again, if they don't go so fast so early, maybe he doesn't get that big run going into the far turn.
Yeah, it's hard to know sometimes when you're evaluating these paces after the fact, all the different dynamics that that go into it. But yeah, if that was the plan to be out the back, if the plan was to be out the back and they hadn't gone so fast, I mean, he just might have been a hard closing fourth.
Any other takeaways from the jackpot in general?
Well, my only other thought is going forward on far right. It's just one of those things that's disappointing to me because – when a trip is that bad, that's what we like to call the IBTH horse, the International Bad Trip Horse, mm-hmm. the horse who's so egregiously, the trip is so egregiously bad that the next time it's very, very hard to find value on them because I saw it, you know, my mom saw it, my 2-year-old right. daughter saw it,
right.
And you know, and they bet with both fists. So the next time, you know, it's going to be you have the potential for an overbet situation on a horse you want to like, and you had them the right time. You know, we talk a lot about last time was the time. Well, the next time for this horse, it still might be, even though he didn't win, still might be a last time was the time. But we'll see. Sometimes what happens is you get an intervening excuse. And dirty up that form a little bit, and you have a chance to pounce down the line. It all depends where the horse shows up, of course. This is all just speculation, but it's just one of those concepts that came to me rewatching that tape is classic International Bad Trip Horse potential here.
Going into those two races, into the Jackpot and the Princess, we'll talk about the Princess in a minute. I had said that I wouldn't fall in love with anyone that won, no matter how impressive it was, and at the same time, I wouldn't fault anyone who didn't perform so well because Delta Downs is a bit of an odd configuration. It's not what they're going to be encountering going forward. I thought Far Right ran well based on his pedigree and whatnot. I need to see him do a little bit more. Maybe once he gets, if he goes back to Churchill or he goes somewhere else, I want to see him do a little bit more against some really top-notch competition. I don't think Mr. Z is that bad. I just think he has some distance limitations and he's got to learn to relax because that opening quarter, he was pulling pretty good. And I think if he had relaxed a little bit more, he probably would have been a little bit more dangerous down the lane. Maybe you can make the argument he hung a little bit and he should have passed Ocho, Ocho, Ocho. And as far as, I'm going to call him Triple Eight, just because I don't want to say Ocho, Ocho, Ocho over again. I don't know. It didn't do anything. He got a 90 buyer speed figure. It really didn't do anything for me. I'm not looking at him. He's not on my short list right now of two-year-olds to watch going into the three-year-old campaign.
I have nothing to disagree with about that. I thought that was a great spot for the horse, and he did the business, and, you know, good on you if you were able to accept the short price. But, yeah, not one. I mean, I'm not saying the horse is no good or anything,
no.
But more would have to happen to get too geeked about him.
Agreed. The other big co-headliner down at Delta Downs that afternoon was a Delta Princess, and our Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner, Take Charge Brandy. She kind of backed up that effort at Santa Anita. Just like I just said, I wasn't going to fault anyone that didn't perform well at Delta just as much as I wasn't going to anoint someone who performed well the end-all be-all. That being said, I thought she was very good. She took heat throughout, and she turned away Vivian DeBling, who's a very, very fast horse. And she has a future going short, obviously. I mean, her distance is a major issue, but the fact that Take Charge Brandy just kind of she kept going. It wasn't the most visually impressive thing you've ever seen, but I was impressed with the way that she dug in and she backed up that Breeders' Cup effort. You figure on what, about 3 weeks? 3 weeks rest, something like that?
3 weeks, yeah.
So I thought she was very good. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was the kind of my first thought was that it backed up. You were the first person, when everyone was saying speed bias, speed bias, speed bias, a Friday at Churchill, you were the first person I think I heard say, you know, not so fast here. And this certainly gave evidence to a little bit of a data point to back up that idea that this wasn't that her BC victory wasn't some just bias-aided miracle mm-hmm. that there was some there.
Right.
I, you know, the figure didn't come back too fast, did it? What did Mike? Did you catch that or Matt?
It was 85.
Yeah. I mean, is this going to be a major player going forward? I'm not so sure. But the real question about this race, and I think we should leave this one for another podcast when we're not in such a hurry. But what does this do to the 2-year-old Philly Eclipse race?
That's a very good point because now I think a lot of people, and you also need to keep in mind if we're thinking that line, Lucas came out afterward and said that she's looking, pointing to the starlet at Los Al. Like she's going to run again.
Wow.
So
what, 3 more weeks?
Yeah, about that.
That's Dwayne.
So if she were to do that, and this part bothers me a little bit, we're not going to go fully into it, but if she were to do that and win, I think her record is very difficult to go against, although I think you're in agreement, maybe. I don't want to step on your toes with where my thought is. But, again, we've got a ways to go. I don't want to get into it in depth.
We'll talk about that more later. My last thought, though, on that race is, did anybody notice in the graphic after the race? I think I must have had it muted.
I saw it.
You know where I'm going with this? I tweeted it out. My buddy John Panagot tweeted out with the screen cap, which was even more effective. This was during the interview. He must have mentioned the starlet. I had it on mute But I did notice that it was Dwayne Lucas, L-U-C-A-S. Understandable mistake. The guy hasn't been in the game very long.
No, no, he's a new name, new face. You haven't ever seen the man before. I don't ever want to say, like, you know better. But, like, that's inexcusable, right?
Well, you know, we are talking about our beloved sport. We're at the Breeders' Cup post-position draw. Johnny Velasquez, another newcomer. His name was spelled wrong. So, I mean, racing fans, I mean, this isn't when we're talking about TV broadcast, this isn't Twitter, folks. Work on your spelling.
Could you imagine CBS running Peyton Manning, P-A-Y-T-O-N Manning? Like, could you imagine that?
Maybe leave an N out.
Or double up on the N, or something ridiculous like that. Like, how do you misspell Wayne Lucas's name?
It's pretty silly. You know how this goes. It's people delegate, and it gets down to some poor overworked person who's probably sympathetic at the end of the day. But, hey, if there's anybody out there listening who has the power to encourage the broadcasters of our great sport to pay a little more attention to the small stuff when it matters like this.
Proofread.
Yeah.
Proofread. That's
please
all.
Do. Yeah.
That's all.
I'm not volunteering my time.
No, exactly. Right. Right.
But, yes.
All right, so those are the two that we're going to cover from Delta. The other one we're going to talk about is an allowance race, right?
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Optional claimer, I believe.
Optional claimer.
Not in for the tag, though.
Not in for the – yeah, well, shockingly enough, right? That took place at Aqueduct on Saturday afternoon. And I thought the pitchforks and the torches were coming out for me on Twitter.
Now, I don't know this story. I somehow missed the Twitter war you got into here. I have a take on this race, but you tell your story first. I have the obvious, I think is the obvious.
Let's hear your take first about Honor Code and his return. What'd you think?
I was blown away. Okay. I thought he did so much more than he had to do. I thought this horse just visually and on the clock. I mean, to see a horse come back and... The last time we saw him was a boy and now he's a man. It reminded me a little bit of the beginning of Return of the Jedi when you see Luke for the first time and this is the character.
I didn't think we were going to get a Star Wars.
Yeah, we got a little Star Wars in here, you know. And he's no longer, well, Yoda, I don't want to back in the swamp. And Dagobah, he's got the black on and he's, you know, Mr. Tough Guy and, you know. I'm not sure if I could say what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Bad, you know.
Sure.
I don't want to get bleeped.
No.
We can't edit the podcast
completely.
But
cut.
Anyway, like there is that. That was sort of what this was to me. This was this horse who came out there, and just it was one of those things where he, to me, exuded that quality of class. It wasn't just that he won. It was that, and it wasn't just that he beat who it was clearly a very well-meant opponent very easily. It was how he cruised up on the bridle and did it all so professionally, just to me, and knowing the trainer too, just did it in a way that suggested there's just eons left in the tank. And to then come back with that, the probably the best figure run at Aqueduct this meet, I was impressed. But so now I'm hoping you disagree.
All right, so...
Tell the whole story, because I don't even...
All right.
How'd you get yourself in trouble?
We watched the race, and I said he looked good. He looked good. He split horses. He ran on. He had his best stride late. He strided out through the wire very nicely. I said more distance will be beneficial for him. Visually, he looked very good. I tweeted that. And then I also came back with the caveat that said... I saw the reaction on Twitter, which I'm not disagreeing. You know, everyone.
Most people were saying what I was saying, essentially.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. And everyone is entitled to their opinion. There's no question about that.
No sport without disagreement.
Exactly.
It's a game of opinions.
All I was saying was, let's not anoint him, because I did see three different times on my feed immediately after saying, this is a major player for Horse of the Year in 2015. He might be. I say, you know what, though? A horse running tomorrow at Aqueduct could end up being a major player. I'm just saying. It could. You never know. My point is, and all I was saying was, he beat a field that has, I think, was suspect at best.
Yeah, I mean, there was one horse that seemed really well meant. But
I had a lot of people immediately turn around and say, you've got graded stakes winners in there. You've got this, that, and the other thing. All I can say is, you had a horse in Royal Courier who's how old? 100? You had whose better days I'm saying are behind him. You had a horse in Pure Sensation. Was that the horse? The Clement horse,
yeah.
Who is a grass sprinter who doesn't want to do six and a half on the dirt. You had a horse in, was it Malia? Was that the McLaughlin horse that ran second? Very nice horse. I'm going to say this as politically correct as possible. There's a reason he's raced like five times in like 5 years or 4 years, because he's got some issues. It's not like he beat, you know, Secretariat. And then I would also say the pace scenario, being 150 lengths out of it when they're going 45 flat, 22 flat. Guess what? They're all going to get – it's going to be a stagger fest home. So he should have closed into that pace.
Yep. Yep.
He split horses. I'll give you that. He looked very good. All I'm saying is let's temper the enthusiasm a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's not go overboard. He may end up being horse of the year. He may go undefeated next year. He may end up being a Hall of Famer. The next best thing for Shug. He made it since Easy Goer. You know, but you know, all I'm saying is let's take a breather real quick and see what he does when he's got a face. And I hate to say real horses, because those are. They're accomplished horses. But I don't think that they were all doing what they...
They're not real graded stakes horses.
No, that's the way I'm looking at it.
No, I don't disagree with that. And I'm certainly not in the business of even really speculating about horse of the year next year, unless you want to give me some prices that I can pick and choose to bet on. I try to, as people probably can tell from some of the things I say on here, we do the academic arguments from time to time, but I'm much more interested in things you can bet on. So that's all you said. Like I'm trying to think of words that I can say on the podcast. We get so conversational. I get too close to the line, but you didn't say anything stronger than that to provoke a reaction.
All I said was people need to pump the brakes a little bit let's not turn him into a super horse based on an optional claiming event at Aqueduct in November.
At the same time, I think it's legitimate to call him a player in the handicap. I mean, how can you not call him a player, major player, in the handicap division for next year? I mean, do you disagree with that?
I need to see him go two turns and beat quality horses before I go and say that he is like a top five contender in that division. What did he beat?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Top five.
I hate...
The group isn't that strong. It's not that hard. We're not talking about top five that includes a lot of grade one.
All I'll say right now, let's just say based on that effort, and let's say that this horse ends up, another horse gets a quick prep before there's their big event. Let's say Palace Malice against that horse, against Honor Code, straight up for their second start. Who would you take? Because I'm taking Palace Malice every single time because I know what he is.
Oh, God. I mean, and we're talking about the horses of the same price in this scenario?
Because based on the Twitter reaction, that horse is going to be 8-5 in his next race.
No matter who he's facing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the logic will be, he needed the race and he looked
and he
so
still did.
Good
he was
and
too
he's going to
short.
Improve
he's gonna
off
get better.
Of it. And, you know.
So he's going to get better. He's going to run a 125 buyer. Get out of here. All I'm saying is, I'll use that as the argument, is if you gave me he... off of a prep or whatever you want against Palace Malice, who's been off for a long time, I'm taking Palace Malice because I know what he is.
I'd take the other side,
okay.
And only partially to be contrarian, but it's just hard because, Palace Malice has a pretty darn big name too, and if it came down to it, I mean, right, if we're saying they're both the same price, I just think I can argue it each way. My gut says go with what I just saw versus a very unusual situation with Palace Malice. But what you're saying is something that we say all the time on here too, is you don't want to buy you want to buy low and sell high. And in terms of selling high, based on the reaction we're seeing, I get where you're. I don't think it's crazy.
I'll ask both of you, and this will be the final thing to button up on this right now. Let's say this race happened in October. And they weren't afraid, or maybe he got two preps in, one a little bit longer, and he ran all close to as well as this last effort. Forget about the number, whatever. Say it came back as 100 for the second race, whatever. And he ran in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Where would you rank him against the horses that ran in this year's Classic? Because I would put him no higher than third or fourth, probably fourth. I would put him behind at least the top 2-3-year-olds.
I can't even go there. It's like I could argue it either way. So I don't. And I already did that once. So I'm gonna punt. But for me, it wouldn't be. I'd have to put it this way. I'd have to think real long and hard about it. I don't think it's crazy.
All right. Here's a better one. And then Michael, someone brought up the idea. They said wheel him back in the Malibu against Shared Belief.
No.
Let's say they did.
Okay.
Who if you had heads head to head, because they'll probably be, again, I would assume they would be, Honor Code would probably be a little bit higher than shared belief. Probably offer a hair, but honor code probably be 3-1.
Yeah, shared belief, there I go, shared belief every time. Because this is one thing about a shug-trained horse with these kind of attributes is it's all about constructing a careful campaign. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, we had a flashy effort to put up a big figure. Let's wheel him back. That's not what he does. And if he were to do that, it would be too weird for me, and I would bet the other way.
Mike?
You know, I agree. I mean, and I, Matt, I love that you're the contrarian here because it's just going to help you next out because everybody is going to be all on this horse. Yeah, everyone. Yeah. And you're going to get twice the price on any other horse in the field that he runs against that you would normally get. So kudos for you for being strong enough to stand up to the Twitter backlash and going for it. That said, I think, you know, the logic behind it is this is a horse that was looking really good as a 3-year-old, had some issues, came back, has done nothing wrong, and people love a horse where the ceiling is kind of unknown. And so, you know, ultimately I'm with you. I would rather take what I know, especially at a short price.
Sure.
You know, and I would let him beat me. I would let him, you know, I mean, in the number came back so insane.
106.
106. That's higher than Work All Week got for his win in the BCs.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing I thought someone made a quick...
At Aqueduct.
Yeah, I know.
In November.
There's a part of me that hopes I'm wrong.
Oh, of course.
I hope he's a super horse.
As a fan, I hope this horse is...
I hope he's as legit gets. But from a wagering standpoint, I think you're out of your tree if you're like Jonesing to wait and bet.
Well,
like,
let's wait until we have prices and an actual race to go there.
Yeah, right.
But I know what you mean. It's not that my take wasn't, oh, I can't wait to bet this horse next time.
I'll tell you what. I'll make a bet with you right now. The next spot he shows up in, regardless of the field, he is no higher than 5-2.
Oh, I don't think anybody would be against
2-1.
Yeah, I think to get a taker, you might have to go to evens.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would even give you odds on.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's odds on.
Because that's going to be in a graded stakes event. You know.
Well, especially knowing Shug, I don't think he's going to rush him necessarily because, well, you know, what's coming up next? Does he send him to Florida?
Florida.
I'd imagine probably the Don.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe they get a prep in him right before that. But
you know, I think he probably goes a two-turn. Maybe not a two-turn, but he probably goes long one more time.
The Don, if it were me calling the shots, I'd probably send him out to the big cap or point for that. Or, maybe you point to Dubai.
Dubai.
That's what Dan said immediately. Dan Edelman said it right after the race. He goes, what if Shug's been waiting for Dubai?
Yeah.
Of course, he was saying a little bit like, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but... I mean, it's an option. It's on dirt now.
It's an excellent option. I mean, we'll cross that.
Yeah,
and we should talk more about this, but we should fly along here because my
tournament talk.
Time is nigh. Really quickly, tournament talk this week. I just want to tell people about some cool stuff coming up. There's one event that's super duper unique, and it's actually happening tomorrow, Thursday, on Thanksgiving. Many of you might not know this, but Daily Racing Form owns a website called head2head.com, which is, generally speaking, a season-long fantasy site that hosts a variety of really cool games across a bunch of different sports for the whole season. But tomorrow is going to be Head-to-Head Sports' first one-day fantasy football contest.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. You go on the site, you sign up, it's $8 to play. There's a prize pool of over $3,000 with bonuses that could make that worth another $1,000. And basically what you have to do is you have five groups of players who are playing in the Thursday games. And of those eight groups of players, five players in each group, you just pick one. And highest points win. It's a great way to get a little action in the football without having to follow it too intensely while you're making your turkey and then eating your turkey sandwich with cranberry sauce and mayo. And
probably taking a nap.
Yeah, all that good stuff later. So I just want our fans to check that out. And I think there's a pretty big Venn diagram between the racing folks out there and people who watch the NFL on Thanksgiving. So definitely check this out. I think there's going to be more stuff that we're going to be doing with headtohead.com in the future. So check that out. Then on Saturday, two more contests in the DRF family. On NHC Qualify, we have our regular format, $165 buy-in, up to five spots to the NHC available. And then this is a cool one for folks often ask, what's a good way to get started in contests? Mm-hmm. Well, on bcqualify.com, at the same time as the NHC Qualify contest, we have a contest that's only $25 to enter and is going to be paying a prize pool of at least $2,500. Okay. So it's a credit builder. The money you win there, you can use on NHCQ, DRF bets, BCQ, and I think it's a great opportunity for newer players. And that's all I have to say for tournament talk for this week. Let's look at these stakes races.
All right, we're going to look at just the two biggies of the weekend. We're going to look at the Clark Handicap. We're going to look at the Cigar Mile. The Clark is happening Friday afternoon, Friday early evening at Churchill Downs. Mike, run us through the field real quick if you don't mind.
All right. The number one is Opportunity, 7-2 morning line. Number two, Prayer for Relief, 6-1 morning line. Number three, Knights Nation, 30-1. Number four, Departing, 3-1 favorite morning line. Number five, Easter Gift, 8-1. Number six, Protonico, 8-1. Number seven, Constitution, 7-2. Number eight, Looking Cool, 50-1. And number nine, Pick of the Litter at 9-2.
Okay, now obviously we don't have the PPs may be out
PPs
for that
are
one
out.
Yet,
they are out.
But just based on time-wise, we haven't gone into the races yet. We haven't done either the Clark, and they haven't drawn the Cigar yet, but we haven't filled the probables yet. We'll get into the Cigar in a minute. Based on hearing that lineup right there, morning lines, first reaction.
Two things leap off the page to me. One, the horse Prayer for Relief, my buddy Frank Scatoni for quite a while now has been calling him Prayer for Class Relief.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this is a grade one, hearing the lineup there, he is finally getting his class relief.
Yeah.
So maybe a little extra look to see how that one comes true. Another thing I see just right off the bat, something when I was coming up in the game, I was taught to always look for and bet against, when there are three-year-olds who are giving weight to older horses. And I noticed just a quick look through the lineup here. That's the situation with Constitution. Now, granted, November 28th, how much of a February fall, how much of a three-year-old really is he anymore? Maybe that's out the window, but just a tiny off-the-bat negative I see on Constitution is that old-school angle. And that's, at this stage, it's all I got. I'll tweet out some thoughts as we get closer to the race.
I haven't even looked at the PPs yet, but Dan and I, we're going to be taping our Race of the Day videos this afternoon. Those will be up on the site here shortly. But at face value, my thoughts, Mike and I were going back and forth yesterday, texting a little bit. I think Opportunity is the favorite in the field. I think he goes off favorite slightly. I think it's between he and Constitution. I know Mike Battaglia made Departing the favorite. Departing has done he's run the same race too many times. I don't see him going off favored. There may not be a ton of money in these pools down there at this time of year right now with Churchill, but the money that is in there is at least informed. It's not foolish money. They know what's going on, and I would be shocked if Departing is any better than third choice going off. I agree with you. I think Prayer for Relief, just at face value, is getting a little bit of class relief in this spot. I agree with you. Constitution, the fact that he's giving way to older horses, and that's strictly on that grade one Florida Derby. That's got to be the only reason, because if you watch that return effort, I know he stumbled out of the gate, and for a speed horse off a long layoff, that's essentially death, but he didn't run. And I really, really, I'm going to go back, watch the replay, and go through, the form and look at all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I just think that he may be a little bit vulnerable. But I don't hold me to that. Watch our Race Today video. The other race, the Cigar Mile. Mike, what do we got?
So we don't, as you said, the field is not drawn yet, but the probables with weight assignments are: It's My Lucky Day, 122; Private Zone, 122; Secret Circle, 122; Vijack, 118; Bourbon Courage, 117; Regally Ready, 117; Salutos Amigos, 117; Noble Moon and Transparent at both at 114.
First thoughts.
Is Salutos, for literal first thought, isn't Salutos cross-entered in the fall high weight?
He is cross-entered. Okay. I believe the plan is to run him in the mile, Cigar Mile. Gotcha. But I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's a really great-shaped field. I have no opinion, just hearing the names and weights, and I know all the horses, but it looks to me like it's going to be an interesting handicapping puzzle, and I'm eager to dive into it when we have PPs.
I had I made the PPs for myself on Friday afternoon for the prospective field. I'm not going to say it right now. I'll wait. You're going to have to watch the Race of the Day video. I have a bad feeling I'm married to a horse, and I say bad. I don't know that it's bad because I think I'm going to get a price with some of those names in there. But I got a feeling that I'm going to have to watch the replay again from his last race. But I think I'm married to a horse going into this race. He should be a bit of a number.
That's nice.
Yeah, we'll see.
Nice little tease.
So, yeah, again, that'll be Dan Illman and I will have a race today videos. Those will be up later on tonight after we go through everything. I got to get out of here and go handicap. You need to go get your daughter.
Indeed.
Mike, anything to final words?
You know, if you're interested, and I think we're going to do it as a separate article, I did formulator facts for each of the runners of the Clark.
Beautiful.
So
be sure to look for that. Other than that, have a very good, very happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully everything goes very well for everyone. And hopefully you guys have some good luck as far as the wagering goes for the races. We've got a lot of good races coming up over the next 3-4 days. We got good football to watch tomorrow as well. And Pete, take us away.
May you win all your photos.